Parshat Vayera is a real banquet of delicacies when it comes to things to talk about. The whole issue of the visitation of the Malachim, why there's a second annunciation about the birth of Yitzchak, how do we understand Sarah's reaction, how do we understand the whole scene, the famous Rambam, that it's all a vision. And then, of course, Avram's negotiations for Sodom, then, of course, the destruction of Sodom. And then, of course, there's Lot and his daughters and a bottle of Ripple in a cave and that whole scene. Then we get to the part that's more well-known only because it's the Kriyat HaTorah on Rosh Hashanah, which is the birth of Yitzchak and then the expulsion of Yishmael and that how that all plays out. Then the Brit with Avimelech. And then, of course, the Akedah. Who can ignore the Akedah? Most dramatic story probably in all of Chumash. Very powerful. So I'm going to pick something that's none of those things. And that is the story, which is Perek Chaf. This is a story we've never looked at. And it's a story which actually seems to be a repeat of an earlier story in the Torah. And that is the story of Avraham and Sarah in Egypt. When Avraham and Sarah go to Egypt, and Avraham has Sarah say that they're brother and sister, and she gets taken by Paro, and that whole story. And the story seems to repeat here. However, there's some things in this story that make it very different. So I'm going to start by asking you the following question. Avimelech, the king of the Plishtim, good guy or bad guy? You like him or you don't like him? What do you think? What's your instinctive reaction?
Negative, but redeemed himself, I guess.
You want to say it again?
I say negative, but he redeemed himself.
Bad guy who redeemed himself. Okay. I think generally our attitude towards everybody that Avram faces off against is bad guy and Avram wins, right? Seemingly. Not exactly the case. Depends how we understand Melchizedek, but broadly, that's the way we're going to generally see it. I think that we need to reevaluate Avimelech. And I think that there are sufficient allusions in the text that really present Avimelech in a very positive light. And so we're going to read through the text quickly, and that's going to bring us to what you can see is the core of the shiur, which is this one line, which is an enigmatic and inexplicable line that the Mefarshim all have difficulties with. I'm not going to offer a panacea and say I've solved all the problems, but I'm going to suggest a different take on it that might alleviate some of the issues. All right, let's start from the beginning. The destruction of Sodom happened, and Vayisam Misham Avram Vartzah Negev. Avram goes from there. He goes to the Negev, and then he leaves the territory of Hebron. Maybe the Sodom episode traumatized him, and he leaves. Vayeshev in Kadesh Ben Shur VeYagor BeGrar. That's a play on words. He sojourns in the area of Gerar, and Gerar is the capital city of this group of Plishtim, and the king of the is Avimelech. Avimelech probably is a title name because there's another Avimelech we meet who seems to be his son. So Avimelech seems to be the title name for the king of the Plishtim. Vayomer Avraham el Sarah ishto, achotihi. Avram announces that Sarah is his sister. Vayishlach Avimelech melech gerar v'yikach et Sarah. It's exactly like what happened with Paro. Avimelech summons her and she's taken to him. And now, vayavor v'imel Avimelech b'chalom alayla. This did not happen in the case of Paro. But God comes to Avimelech in a dream, which already may give us, certainly Avimelech comes out looking better than Paro in the story. It may actually put him in a generally positive light because he's having nevuah. Vayomer lo, hincham meit al isha asher lakachta v'hi bu'ulat ba. So what does he announce? He said, God says to him in the dream, you are going to die because you took this woman. She is a married woman. Vavimelech lo karav eleha. And now we find out that Avimelech had not had any relations with her. Vayomar, and so what, that's in the past perfect, lo karav eleha, had not had relations with her. And so Vayomar, what does he say in his dream? Adonai, now notice I highlighted that word, hagoy gam tzadik taharog, will you kill the innocent nation? Now, first of all, notice that he uses the word Adonai. That is not a name that people have used very much till now when addressing God. As a matter of fact, the first person to do it, and he did it twice, was, and perhaps three or four times, depending how we read the story in the front of the tent, Avraham. Avraham is the first person to call God by that name. The Gemara makes a fancy piece. Think about it. Lo mi miyom shabra kodesh baruch hu olam lo ya adam shekarol la kodesh baruch hu adon ad sheba Avraham. And that's in Brit Ben Amatarim. And now Avimelech uses the same word in his vision, which means it's in a dream, but that's the word he uses. And he also says, will you kill an innocent person? After all, I'm innocent. He's going to plead his innocence now. Does that remind you of anything? When he says, are you going to kill an innocent person? It sounds about an awful lot like whom?
Avraham.
Avraham in his negotiations for Sodom, which is already has happened here. And now he builds his case. They both said about each other that they're siblings. Notice those words. Betom levavi, meaning with an innocent heart and with cleanliness of hands, I did this. In other words, I had no reason to think there was anything wrong here. Vayomer elav ha'elohim b'chalom, and God speaks to him and says, Gam anochi yadati ki betom levavcha asita zot. I know that you did this with an innocent heart. V'achsoch gam anochi otcha michatoli. And I withheld you, I kept you from sinning, meaning, I know that you did this innocently. I know that you did not mean to take another man's wife. And therefore, I kept you from actually doing anything. Therefore, I didn't allow you to touch her. Meaning, I somehow stopped you physically from having any relations, which is what we read at the beginning of Pasuk Dalet. Avimelech didn't have relations with her. So it might mean that Avimelech wanted to, but God somehow messed with his plumbing, or in some way made it impossible for him to do. And God said, I did it to spare you. Which, by the way, should tell us, Avimelech's a good guy. Avram is not just saving Sarah from this, he's saving Avimelech from this. But take a look at these words. Gam anochi yadati, I also know about you, which, by the way, is something that we're going to hear very soon at Akedat Yitzchak. Now I know that you are one who fears God. And the betom levavcha, notice, I know that you did this with a purity of heart. What did God say to Avram just before Brit Milah? He talech lefanai veyeh tamim. That same word, tamim. And now, a critical word, which is critical because it's so rare, shows up in the Akedah twice. After Avraham, his hand is stayed, the Malach says, ata yadati, there's yadati, right? Ki yirei Elohim ata, I know that you fear God. V'lo chasachta pincha, you did not withhold your son from me. That's a Akedah word. It shows up twice there. And here it shows up in God's words to Avimelech. I withheld you from sinning. It's an unusual word. It should be va'umenaticha, va'emna'otcha, I restrained you from sinning. Right? But instead, v'achzik b'cha, v'achsoch is an unusual word, and it takes us again to the Akedah. And then he says, v'ata ha'shev yesh ta'ish ki navihu, v'ipale badcha v'chye. And now return this married woman to her husband, because he's an Avi. Why is that critical? He'll pray for you and you'll live. In other words, you're at risk of dying. He'll pray for your well-being. And why does he have to pray for you? Because you wronged him. So he has to pray for you. And if you don't return her, then you're dead. You and your whole group are going to die. Okay. And by the way, Avimelech is, on the one hand, innocent. On the other hand, was very close to doing something bad. And may be anchored in a bad behavior on his part, that when he sees a woman he likes, if she's not attached, he grabs her. But nonetheless, he's spared, and God seems to favor that. Now watch this. Vayashkem Avimelech Baboker. Does that phrase ring a bell?
Avraham.
Exactly. Three times, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. Once when he sends off Yishmael, once when he gets off to watch the destruction of Sodom, and once famously at the Akedah. And now Vayashkem Avimelech Baboker, I can tell you this about Kriya, you almost say Vayashkem Avraham Baboker here, because you're used to it, and it starts with Aleph Bet anyways. So he gets up and he calls his servants together and he tells them what happened, and they get very afraid. And then he summons Avraham and he says, what did you do? What did I sin to you that you brought this great, terrible thing to me? And then he finally says to him in a simple phrase, in Pasuk Yod, Ma ra'ita ki asita t'davar zeh? What did you see that caused you to do this? And what's Avraham's answer? So Avraham gives three different answers, which are somewhat contradictory. He says, first of all, ki amarti rak in yirat Elohim b'makom hazeh. And again, yirat Elohim is what Avraham is recognized as having at the Akedah. which would translate best into, I saw there was no morality here. They will kill me, not you will, they will kill me for my wife. In other words, they'll see that I'm married, man, I'm married to this beautiful, drop-dead, gorgeous 89-year-old woman, and they'll kill me to get her. V'gam omna, and by the way, achoti v'atavihi, achlovati mi. She actually is my half-sister. She's my paternal sister, not maternal sister. Vati l'elisha, and she became my wife, which, by the way, is strange on a lot of levels. It's strange because there was no mention earlier when we got a whole yichas from Milcah, who married Nahor. Sarai is introduced without any yichas, and we're not told that she's in any way part of the family of Terach. That's first of all. Second of all, there's a kind of ich factor here that even if it's technically permitted that he married his half-sister, it's a little bit difficult. But it gets more difficult here. And I'm just pointing out these difficulties, which we're not going to deal with, because that's a whole other shear of understanding Avraham's response. When God caused me to wander from my father's house, and I said to her, this is how you'll be kind or loyal to me. Everywhere we go, say that you're my brother, that I'm your brother. Now notice that Avraham is saying two contradictory things. On the one hand, he's saying, I came here, I saw you guys were immoral, and I thought I'd be killed, so I said that you should say you're my sister. Second of all, she really is my sister, so I didn't lie. Okay, yeah, but you left out the important part, which is you're married to her. And then third thing he says, and I told her, everywhere we go, tell them you're my sister, which means that it's not because I noticed here that there was immorality, but rather that's our travel plan. And by the way, it means, and there's a critical difference here, when did Avraham tell Sarah to say that? Did he say it after he arrived and he looked around and he saw people behave? Or did he say it before they got there? Or did he not have to say it at all? Because that's what they did everywhere. So the information is a little bit at odds with itself and something to consider and contemplate elsewise. But here's what I want to get to. What does Avimelech do? He gives, and this reminds us of Paro, but of course Paro did it before he was plagued. Here, Avimelech does it as reparations. So he hands Sarah over along with a lot of big stuff. And again, he comes out much, much better than Paro because Paro throws Avram out. Here, Avimelech actually says, here's my land. Mi kasa su kasa. Right? My country is your, my land is your land. And wherever you want to go, you can live. And now he says something really bizarre. He turns to Sarah, and these only word, the only words we ever hear him say to Sarah. Well, Sarah Amar, Hinena tati elef kesef liachich. Behold, I have given your brother, which is, by the way, a real ironic term. I've given him 1,000 silver pieces. Now, by the way, money was not mentioned. Silver was not mentioned in Pasuk Yodalad. Rather, flock and herd and slaves and slave girls. So it sounds like beyond all that, he gave him a reparation of silver. Hinehu lach ksut einayim. It is either a garment for your eyes or covering for your eyes. Either way, it's the same thing, something that covers your eyes. What's that mean? You're supposed to put the silver on your face? Unclear. Clearly not meant that way. L'chol asher itach, for all that are with you, the eight kol v'nochachat, and everyone who's present, maybe. The Rishonim are all over the place. I'm trying to understand what this phrase means. We'll take a look at just a couple examples. And then what happens is Avraham prays, and Hashem heals Avimelech and his whole household because God had stopped up all of their reproductive organs and maybe their eliminatory functions. They had all been really messed up while Sarah was there. Okay. Now, before moving on to explaining, I just want to point one more thing out to substantiate the idea that Avimelech is seen in a very positive light here. Besides all of the Avraham allusions that we have, Vayashkem Avimelech Baboker and Vayachsoch, and all of these Avraham words and phrases, and besides the fact that Hashem acts to help Avimelech, and Avimelech behaves real gentlemanly way afterwards, Besides that, it may be that a parak of Tehillim is actually coming to comment on Avimelech and to praise him. In Parak Chavdalad, Mi Ya'ale Mahar Adonai Mi Yakum Kon Kocho, right? But David Mizmor Adonai Hatsum La Tevel VeYoshveva, etc. And there is a what seems to be a call and an answer. We've studied this parak before and seen this as antiphonal. Who will go up to Har Hashem? Who could stand in His holy place? And what's the answer? Niki Chapayim Avar Levav, somebody who has clean of hands and pure of heart, meaning that you have to have no theft and nothing that you don't own. Your hands have to be clean, but also purity of heart. And you notice that those are exactly the phrases that Avimelech used to describe his own behavior. He says, "Betom levav nikyon kapai." And it seems to me that Tehillim is exactly copying that. Now notice that when God answers, He says, "Betom levavcha," meaning, yes, you were innocent. He doesn't repeat the thing about the hands. So maybe the fact that Avimelech actually took a woman into his house, even though it was under being misled, nonetheless may render a little guilty. But it could be that this parak in Tehillim is sort of giving some support to the idea that Avimelech is a good guy. Maybe. In any case, let's take a look at this parshanut on this Ksute Naim and Eight Kol V'Nochachat, very difficult phrase. So it's a midrash, which is interesting also because of what doesn't happen in this midrash. All right? I'll show it to you in a second. Hineu lach Ksute Naim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. This is Breshit Rabba. Aseila Ksut Shiyua Kom Abitin Ba V'lo B'Noya. So the first take is, I'm giving Avram this money, so he should make a beautiful garment so that people will look at the garment and not at her body. Right? Ksut einayim. What's that? Another taste is ksut shehi asuya einayim einayim. And einayim, as we'll see in other mefarshim, seems to mean hues of color. So in other words, it's like a garment that's made of multicolors. Rabbi amar asam mit matrona. Right? Meaning that Avimelech is making her into like a stately woman instead of it's giving her honor. Ksuchi mechusa mina ayin, meaning giving her a garment that keeps her away from people's eyes. Now notice, by the way, all over the place in the Midrash on this phrase, because the phrase is so enigmatic. Rishlakish amar bikesh laknota bifnei ba'ala lomar kol hashanim halalu hi imo v'lo asa la davar. What he was trying to do was actually kind of create jealousy in front of Abraham to say, she was with me for all these years and I didn't do anything. And here in one night, Abraham was with her for so many years and has never given her any glory. She has cheap clothes. And now I'm with her for one night and look what all this great stuff I have. I'm trying to create kind of difficulty between the two of them. That's another take. Davar acher, amar lem, atem kisitem miniyat ha'ayin. What's ksut einayim? He says, you hid things from me because you said that you're brother and sister. So ben sha'atem mamidim yei ksut einayim. So your son is going to be blind. Ksut einayim. Now, the interesting thing about this midrash is this is a midrash that doesn't make it into the collection of midrashim that Rashi presents at the beginning of Perek Chav Zayin when it says Yitzchak went blind. Rashi quotes a midrash that Yitzchak went blind from the smoke of Esav's wives, and that Yitzchak went blind so that Yaakov could steal the bracha. And in one Tav Yad, Rashi adds, Yitzchak went blind from the tears of the angels when he was on the Mizbeach, at the Akedah. This doesn't make it in there, that Yitzchak went blind because his mother was cursed for lying about who she was, and that's what Avimelech did. But notice how difficult this phrase of Ksuye Naim is. Rashi gives the following presentation, and he does not follow the Midrash in this exactly. He says, Avimelech lichvoda kedei lefaisa. Avimelech wanted to honor her. Hinei asiti lach kavod zeh, natati mamon leachich, meaning I gave all this money to your husband, your brother. Shamart alav achiyuv. Why is it your brother? Because you said he was your brother. Hinei hakavod hazeh lach ksut einayim. This kavod is going to cover you, protect you in front of everybody. That nobody would treat you lightly. Why? If I had returned you back to Avram without any money, People think I had my way with you, and then I threw you back on the street. Now that I had to spend all this money and ask for an apologize and ask for mollification, everybody will know that I was forced to give you back. There was a miracle involved, which means my giving all this money to your husband or you're calling your brother is actually covering up your honor, protecting your honor, because people will now know that A, nothing happened between us, and that I was forced as a king to beg from this visitor forgiveness.
Doesn't it do really the opposite? He gives her all kinds of gifts and showers her with things. People will say she must have really pleased him.
But then he would have kept her. The fact that he had to return her, that's the point. He would have kept her. The fact that he had to return her, if he'd returned her with nothing, he would have said, I'm done with you, throw you back, like one of Ahasuerus' girls. The fact that he has to do all of this, and it's public, and he has to beg forgiveness and please pray for us, etc., means that her honor has been saved. That's the way Rashi sees Ksutei Naim, right? And Ibn Ezra quotes this Midrash about the Yitzchak going blind. Vayashar be'enai, that's a play on words. Ibn Ezra loved the play on words. Said, that which is straight in my eyes, meaning what I think is correct. She'aperush Ksutei Naim Moshech Atzmo Bacherimo, this is the double adjective impact. Meaning this will cover your eyes in order to identify that Avram's your husband. Meaning no other man will look at you again because of all this honor. They'll know that Avram is your husband and they won't want to mess with you. So this protects you. Right? That's another take. Ula Sarah Amar, the Bechor Shor says. Right? Why did he speak to Sarah? So she should also be mollified. Okay? And then he says that it's Ksute Nain, Shemachasem Yimech Boshet Be'inei B'nei Adam. It'll keep you from being embarrassed in front of others, very much like what Rashi says. Take a look at the Radak. The Radak, unlike the Bechor Shor, says the 1,000 he mentioned was the value of all those sheep. The Radak says, no, besides all the sheep, he gave 1,000, right? And now, what's Ksute Nain? Again, he says a naim doesn't mean eyes, but colors. Avram will buy you a beautiful garment with this money that I've given him, right? Ki agavani kare ayin. He proves that a hue is called an ayin. Ope roshosh tia har miyashal aksuta suyai naim and ayin, right? And it has nothing to do with protecting her honor or anything else of that sort. The Ramban. What does the Ramban say? He says, "Inatati elef kesef lachicha yuatzon vavakar vavadim shnatano shavim elef kesef." Like the Bechor Shor. In other words, everything I gave your brother slash husband is worth that much. Not I didn't give him besides that. Gamar the sarat. Atati mamon rav lachich. Hinei akesef hazel lach suta inei kolam vavadim yofiech. This will cover the eyes of anybody who wants to look at your beauty. Ket inehem ben roshayem achozim yechazu. They will turn away from you. Why? They won't even look at your maids in waiting and your slave girls. Meaning, this is all your benefit that I grabbed you. In other words, I've helped you out by me giving this great ransom to save my life. And to return you, nobody's going to want to mess with you because they see what it cost even a king. And so there's no physical garment, but rather the events will be a protection from people looking at you in the wrong way. Right. Good. So that's the Ramban. Now, I just want to share with you the Shaddal, because Shaddal brings in, and Shaddal, of course, 19th century, and brings in lots of information that became known to us about the ancient world that the Rishonim didn't have access to. So he quotes a particular Nicholas de Lyra, who was a commentator. He has a different take. He says, the fact that you would come in and say, this guy's my brother, instead of husband, was covering the eyes, meaning it was a lie. Hu tov l'chol asher itach. Meaning, this is not a bad thing for all the people with you. You could certainly tell that to tell the people who are with you about it, because they're not going to make a mistake. They know that you're married. You don't have to tell them that lie. But with everybody else, you should learn from this story and not lie. You can lie to people around you because they know you're married. Doesn't matter. But you tell this lie to others, they won't know. And what happened to you here might happen again. That's a very strange comment. And he doesn't like it very much. And he quotes somebody named Roj and Schroeder beforehand, who said, we're going to start with this. That the unmarried women used to walk around without anything covering their face. The married women would actually cover their face. I'm going to show you that this idea is good, but it's actually backwards. Basically, I've given you 1,000 pieces of silver, buy a veil. Why? Don't behave like a pnuya. In our world, we would say, don't walk around without a sheitel or a techel. It looks like you're single. Or to a guy, would say, don't dine without a talus. It looks like you're single, right? This covering your eyes will let everybody know that you're actually a married woman. Okay, very nice. I think that Schroeder's onto something here, but I think that it's actually backwards, and we have evidence from text. Let's take a look. Again, we have to keep in mind that that Avimelech, I think we've demonstrated pretty successfully, is seen as a good guy. Somebody that we kind of like, and somebody who perhaps has something to teach Avraham. Let's see. Avraham comes to Egypt. And what happens on his way to Egypt? A very strange pasuk. On the way down to Egypt, he suddenly says, he says to Sarah, now I realize that you're beautiful. What, till now you didn't realize it? Come on. When the Egyptians see you, then all this is going to happen. Say you're my sister, et cetera, et cetera. Well, what does that mean? I will give you two more examples, then we'll come back to it. Rivka, when she gets on the camel, she rides on the camel. Evidently, she has nothing covering her head or her face. And when they get close to Beersheba, and she says to the Eved, who is that man? And he says, that's Adoni. That's my master, meaning that's the guy you're going to marry. What does she do? Atikachat saif atidkas. She takes a shawl and she covers herself. Why? This is the man she's going to marry. Why does she cover herself? And the third example is perhaps the weirdest one. Yehuda Tamar. We know the story. And Yehuda, at a certain point, loses his wife. He's looking for female companionship. Tamar hears about it. What does Tamar do? Vatasar bigdei amanuta me'aleha. She takes off her widow's clothes, her mourning clothes. Vatchas batsaifatitalaf. She covers herself with a shawl. Now, we kind of picture that as a shawl around the shoulders. I don't think that's the case. Vatesh v'tachinai mashal derech timnata. She goes to this crossroads. Kirataki dal shelah v'iloni nalo lisha. She saw that she's not going to be given to shelah. We know what she wants. She wants to have relations with Yehuda because she wants to have a child in that family. And here's where the strange pasuk comes in. Vayireha Yehuda v'achshaveha lezonah. Yehuda sees her and thinks she's a zonah. Why? Ki chista paneha. Because she covered her eyes. Now, and covered her face. Now, you gotta realize that's a weird phrase. He thought she was a zonah because she covered her face. You would think kind of the opposite. And Chazal, indeed, are bothered by this pasuk. It says, what do you mean? Derech hazonah? Rather, it means that when she was in Yehuda's house, she kept her face covered. He didn't know what she looked like. So ki chista paneha is not now, but back then. Very difficult comment.
Could it be...
Yeah, go ahead.
Could it be the key is in spite of?
Where does key ever mean that? Right? And by the way, what would be the relevance of it? So I'd like to make the following suggestion. It's fairly clear that women in Mesopotamia did not cover their face. How do I know that? when Yaakov gets to Haran, which is under Mesopotamian kind of hegemony and impact of customs, he sees Rachel, and right away he sees Rachel, and he falls in love with her, right? She's not covered her face. When the servant comes to Haran and the girls come out with the water, he sees Rivka. Rivka's beautiful. He sees her. She's not covering her face. And yet we do know that in some societies, the custom was for girls to keep their face covered, at least out in public, married or unmarried. What does Avraham, who is a Mesopotamian, and therefore Sarah doesn't cover her face, what does Avraham realize when he comes down to Mitzrayim? They will see you, and they're not used to seeing a woman. And therefore, they're going to see your beauty, etc., and all that's going to flow from there. What happens here with Rivka? Rivka is from Mesopotamia. She doesn't keep her face covered, but she's coming to Canaan, and she knows that the custom in Canaan is for women to keep their face covered. So when she's about to meet her husband-to-be, she covers her face. This is the proper local custom. She understands you have to adopt the local custom. What happens here? Tamar is living in Yehuda's household. She doesn't cover her face because she's living in this household which maintains Mesopotamian customs. How does she disguise herself as a local Canaanite girl? She covers her face. And Yehuda thinks she is a local. And the fact that she's out at a crossroads making herself available means the rest. Ki chistafaneh again means he couldn't see her because she covered her face. And as a result of that, we saw that in the earlier pasuk, as a result of that, he assumes she's a local girl. And we go from there. What happens in our story? Avraham comes to Gerar. And Avraham announces that Sarah is his sister, which he can get away with, and everybody sees her, and of course her face is not covered. Because Avraham is maintaining the Mesopotamian customs. What does Avimelech say when we get here towards the end, in the passage to Sarah, which he's really saying to Avraham? He's saying, here, buy yourself a veil. Why? You and all of those of you with you, what the Musar is he giving her? When you're in Gerar, you have to behave like the Anshei Gerar. You have to adopt the local customs. It doesn't mean you have to adopt the local beliefs. It doesn't mean you have to adopt the local fetishes and anything else. But you do have to adopt the local customs, for instance, of dress. And he's giving Musar to Avraham. And therefore he uses the word ve'et kol v'nochachat, meaning everybody who's in front of you who sees you. The people who see you shouldn't be seeing your face. You are a married woman, and you should be adopting the local customs. And so therefore, that's the musud that he gives him. Now, this cuts in to a very difficult problem that we all face, and is part of Jewish history and part of Piskei Halacha and myriad of tshuvot, which is, how do you balance assimilation with identification, with identity? How do you balance between fitting into local society and maintaining your otherness? There are some people who go to one extreme, and they remain in little hamlets in which they speak the language that they've spoken for the last 500 years, and they dress like that, and they interact like that. And ultimately, at the very least, their impact on the rest of the community is limited, and their ability to operate successfully ultimately becomes stunted. And then, of course, there's many people who have taken the exact opposite stream, which is assimilate fully in every which way. And, of course, that's unfortunately a very high percentage of people who are Jewish, at least in this country. But Jewish history and the history of halacha is replete with the challenge of balancing those two things. Avraham absolutely has to maintain his otherness. His entire life's task is dependent on his maintaining his otherness. And yet, Avimelech is giving him Musar. On a certain level, you need to adapt yourself to local norms. And as a matter of fact, your impact will be stronger if you do. Avraham does seem to buy this piece of Musar. Because notice what happens after the Akedah. Avraham, by the way, in the meantime, Avraham made a brit with Avimelech, which means now they're treaty partners. And after the Akedah, Sarah dies, and what does Avraham do? He enters into negotiations, which seems to be on the terms of the local population to buy Merat HaMachpelah, and he identifies himself as fully as possible with the locals by saying, Ger v'toshav ani imachem. I am a stranger, but I'm a resident. I am part of this society, and I want to negotiate with you and work with you in getting this place to bury Sarah. But what's the next thing that happens after that? He makes his slave take an oath that he'll never take a wife from the local girls for Yitzchak. Why? Because now that I have been drawn into becoming part of the society, I have to maintain my otherness. And the only way to successfully do that is to make sure that I don't have a local girl who marries Yitzchak. It's not because of some moral pgam of the Kananim, but it's that Avram has to maintain his otherness. So hopefully we've had a chance to see a different take on Ksut Einayim and on the very difficult phrase, Kol V'Nochachat, and also see Avimelech in a different light and perhaps get a broader message of the impact of what Avimelech was talking about in his words to Sarah.